good morning again. We have several passages we're going to use today, but one of them comes from Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And today we're focusing on another W word. We've been doing this for 4 weeks here about some aspects about what it means to be a good follower, a good disciple of Christ. We've been commissioned to take this message, this good news, to be ministers of reconciliation to the world. We started this on Rally Day. And so we're looking at some of these fundamental aspects about what it means for us and how we could be great at just that. So we looked at our first W was wonder, and this wonderful, powerful, all-loving, all-creating God. We spent week one. Second was trouble, and we talked about we're in trouble was our W there, and the effects of the fall that happened when sin entered in this human experience. We're in trouble. But then God, in His love and His mercy, looks to restore that, to bring us back in, to allow us to be one with Him again. And so that second W was we the people. He chose we the people to help get this work accomplished. Then last week, the W was walking with God, and what it means as a follower to be obedient, to have obedience, and to obey the things that He commands us to do. Today is wisdom. Is our W word for the day is wisdom, and really for me to be up here talking about wisdom shouldn't take too long. It's kind of like, you know, me teaching you how to do synchronizing swimming or build a rocket or something, but you know, wisdom. Well, I found a pretty good resource book on wisdom, and so we're going to rely heavily on this for wisdom and not from me. And you know, a big part of who we are as human creatures, there's this wiring in us that wants us to have wisdom. We want to have this knowledge and understanding about deep things. And especially those of us, these followers of Christ, in this plan to accomplish His work that we've been called to do, we so desperately desire to know and to be knowledge for good or for gain or for profit. And there's a little bit about what wisdom is, to be able to take information and process it, to turn it into right and true for gain or for advantage. Now, that by itself can cause some trouble. You can use that very generic definition of wisdom for both positive things and negative things. If our desire is simply to use knowledge and stuff for selfish interest, we can do that. You know, we hear things like business, to be able to take the knowledge of what there is in the business world and turn that for gain, for profit. That's a form of wisdom. Or streetwise is another form of that word that can also be used for negative things as well. But that's not the... You know, that's not the kind of wisdom we're talking about. You know, what does wisdom really mean? And as I think about that a little bit, there's even, I believe, some confusion on what that word really means, because I think there was a time where, not that long ago, wisdom meant something a little different than what it does today. Just this week, I had a conversation with a good buddy of mine, and we were talking about my generation. So people that are, say, 45 and older. It's been an interesting generation for those folks, because we live in a time where information, lower level knowledge kinds of stuff, there was a time in our lives where there was just some stuff you just couldn't know. You couldn't know some things, some factual kinds of things, where it took a long time to get that. It took a long time to figure out things like, you know, we go for weeks thinking about, you know, what was that REO Speedwagon song that started off, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we'd have to take weeks till we actually figured out what that was. We just didn't have access to information like we have. But now today, that's just totally changed. Any low-level piece of information stuff, we instantly have it. We should never question basic knowledge kinds of things, because it's so quick to gain. It's so quick to get at that. But my point in that is, before this time, that's who the wise guys were. The people of wisdom were the ones that could just kind of regurgitate facts. You know, accountants 60 and 70 years ago, they basically just had to be able to crunch these numbers. They're wise people because they were good at it. Crunch, crunch, crunch. They could do all this stuff. We don't need that anymore. Lawyers, years ago, a big part of what lawyers had to do, they had to memorize case law. They had to be able to recite volumes and volumes of case law. And so therefore there was wisdom in that because they could do that. Well, now with the information we have, that's not that valuable anymore. And you know, a wise person would be that guy you'd see on Jeopardy. You know, that I'll have American history for 400, you know, and they flip the thing over and there's the thing and they got an answer, and those go, "Ah, why?" Because they can process lots of information. I just don't think that's the case, because that factual kind of stuff is so easy to get. Let me share this week in my life the things that 40 years ago would have been very difficult to do. Now, these don't make a lot of sense, but this was part of my life this week. I needed to find out this information. The motor on my log splitter broke, and I need to figure out how to fix this instantly. I could put my model number in. I could find which Briggs motor is going to be able to fit and make this thing instantly. I could have that. It took no time. Here was a valuable one. Why, after the World Series, did those guys put those ski masks on? Did anybody see that? Right after the World Series, they all put these crazy goggles on. Why'd they do that? Easy. I could figure that out. Quickly get that. World Series. When was the last 1-3 team to come back and win? Instantly could find that. How do I tie braid to monofilament fishing line? There's a valuable one. I didn't have to go find a fishing expert. I could find that. What is the water level at Salamone? I needed to know because I was going to go fishing. I could instantly find that. Yesterday, my dryer's not working. Why isn't it heating? Thermal fuse. Could find that. Didn't need anybody to come in. I could look at that. What's the sequence of the events in a wedding ceremony? Boom, got it. Who sang the song "To Sir with Love"? You know, there you go. We could just find that stuff. So those factoid kinds of things, I could instantly get. Here's the last one I'm going to share with you. I thought it was kind of cool. This was the question I asked. What were the things I searched for this week? I couldn't even remember them. I typed that in last night and they popped up. There they all were. You looked at Salamone and then you looked at "To Sir with Love." It was all there. I could even find that piece of information. So to get information, the acquisition of information, it's cheap today. It didn't used to be. The storage is even cheap. It's much less value than it had just in my life. That has changed. For people that are young, you're not getting this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I can get this stuff. I never have to ask those questions. It's part of your life. But for us, we came through this and we see this change. And I wonder at some point, when's that Jeopardy show still going to be on? You know, why are we still watching that? And, well, gosh, I could Google that and find it. Why do we need to have that knowledge? You know what I mean? But we still watch it. So there is much less value to just information, but that's not the kind of wisdom we're talking about. The wisdom we're talking about has tremendous value. Later on in the book of Proverbs, the author says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." There's tremendous value to wisdom, real wisdom. That's what we want to talk about today. Solomon had built the temple that David had laid out the plans for, and he had offered just gobs and gobs of sacrifices, and he was at the temple, and the Lord appeared to him and asked him, "Solomon, what is it you want?" Remember this story? This comes from 2 Chronicles. And he said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" So Solomon had, you know, I don't want to make light of it, but it was sort of, you know, sort of like he rubbed the genie bottle and God said, "I can grant you three." It was sort of like that. God met him at the temple and said, "What is it you would like? What can I grant you?" And he asked for wisdom and understanding. God answered Solomon. He said, "Because this was in your heart, and you've not asked for possessions, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for a long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule my people and over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted you, and I'm also going to give you all this stuff too." So God recognizes this value of wisdom. And he really enjoyed the fact that that's what Solomon asked for too. So what is wisdom? Well, to define it, it's one of those easy low-level things I could do. I could Google it. I could wisdom Google enter and we could find out what it is by definition. And I did just that, and we have these things that help us form a picture of what this true wisdom is that we Christ followers need to be chasing. And one of the dictionaries says, wisdom is knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. It's having the power to discern and judge properly as to what is true and right. Discernment, judgment, discretion. Those are textbook definitions of wisdom. And I think as we come to know and we become mature in our walk, we start to understand that it's a tricky word to get our hands on. There's a lot of aspects to what wisdom are, and they would include, you know, for sure, knowledge, intelligence, to be able to apply that, to have judgment, to have discretion. It seems like wisdom oftentimes comes with experience. We have to learn some things the hard way oftentimes to get wisdom. It has to come with time. There is an experiential part to wisdom. There's also the element of what is true and right and moral. Those are all aspects of wisdom too. And it seems also our understanding of wisdom is often tied to leadership, to be able to take this knowledge and take my experience and take these things and provide leadership from it. Those are all facets of this word of wisdom. But that just by itself, I believe, falls short of what true wisdom is as well. Because, you know, we can have those facets, and from a world's perspective, we can have those kinds of things and develop those kinds of skills, but that falls short as well. You know, it doesn't take us long in regards to leadership. We've had leaders of our country, for example, or leaders in the workplace, or wherever we have people of leader. They have elements of these. They have elements of skills, and to be able to take information and process this and push it into a new kind of situation to solve problems and do these kinds of things. But, you know, and then their character will just come up and bite them, you know. And that has happened over and over again in regards to our big leaders. That just seems to happen. You can have these kinds of skills that we can put in a definition for wisdom, but yet it falls short. And that's worldly wisdom. That's wisdom of the world. And the Bible says that's, according to God, it's foolishness in His eyes. It's not wisdom at all. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man, is foolishness in God's eyes. And we know from the song we sing as kids that if that is the basis of your wisdom, you're going to be the guy that builds your house on sand and the storm comes and washes it all out. You know how that song goes. Earthly wisdom, James says, is rooted with bitter envy, selfish ambition. It's unspiritual. It's devilish. It has disorder and wickedness of every kind. I could stop right there and give you example after example after example of these people that we claim have wisdom and are in leadership roles where this seems to be the product that happens because of that, because it's not real wisdom. It's not wisdom from above. It's earthly wisdom. James goes on to say, but rather than earthly wisdom, in verse 17, he says, the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Oh, another kind of picture when we start to look at wisdom from that light. Those characteristics of what wisdom from above looks like. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So real wisdom, this passage says, starts with the fear of the Lord. You know, that's a phrase that, you know, what is that? What is the fear of the Lord? What does that really mean? And scared to death about getting zapped by lightning? Well, perhaps that could be part of it. But what is the fear of the Lord? Well, you know, that in itself, I think we would say that there's a genuine faith to what the fear of the Lord means. There's a reverence to what it means to have the fear of the Lord. You hold Him high, you revere Him, and you do that by obeying His laws. You listen to His voice, and you try to live and learn His ways. That's the fear of the Lord. But we shouldn't take away from, and I like how this one author put it, we shouldn't take away the holy shuddering. I kind of like that, the fear of the Lord. This little bit of, you know, we should have that. We serve an all-powerful, all-creating God, and when we think about who we are in this human experience, it's pretty insignificant. And when you compare that to perfect holiness, perfect power, perfect knowledge, when we come to face with that, there should be a little bit of, you know, there should be some of that. That's healthy. That's part of this recognizing who He is and then submitting to Him. Not long ago here, we talked a little bit about that. I'll refresh your memory. We hit this in another way. We were in one of the Gospels where Peter and the guys were in the boats. And remember, they hear the guy on the shore says, "Hey, throw your nets out on the other side," you know. And Peter did that. And then Peter recognizes who it was. And he shudders. Do you remember that? Remember that story? We kind of encapsulated into three R's. You know, Peter recognized who this was. It was Christ. And he revered Him when he saw who He really was. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Go away from me. He recognized He was holy. He's got this holy shuddering going on. But then he relinquishes himself to God. And that's part of the fear of the Lord. I recognize who You are. I revere You. And now I relinquish, or I submit. I submit to Your... That's what it means to be fearing the Lord. So the wisdom of God begins from the fear of the Lord. So we can know of God. We can know about God, but that's just knowledge. Wisdom will just not know about Him, but wisdom will know Him. And there's a difference. Knowledge is knowing His. Wisdom is obeying them. Wisdom is submitting. Wisdom is loving. So when I was going through this, after I printed your bulletin, I found a better passage that sort of sums this up here a little bit, and I put that as your insert, Proverbs 2, and I'd like for you to take a look at that first here, so we can kind of just read that together, or pull your Bibles out, Proverbs 2. And I want to start down in verse 6. So here's this promise that we're getting, and we're going to get a little information on this, on what we could be given. For the Lord gives wisdom; from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of His faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the way of evil and those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perseverance of evil, those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So sometime take time and read down back through that. Look at these things that we get when we get God's wisdom. Look at the protection we have. Look at the insight. Look at the understanding. Look at these promises that God has for us, for those people who receive His wisdom. So now let's look at the first part of that passage, because now, well, how do we get that? How does this happen? How does wisdom come? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We read about that, but here it gets just a little bit more practical. And that's why I thought we would include this. It says, "My child, if you accept My words and treasure up My commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." All kinds of qualifiers in there. And again, when you have time, go back through there. And there are some things that we are to do. There's our part of this receiving true wisdom that comes from above. Things that we need to do. There are words that we need to accept and receive. We need to value or treasure what is most true, His commandments. Position ourselves by making our ears ready, inclining our hearts. Those are all these self-responsible things that we need to do to get ourselves in a position for God in His mercy to give us this wisdom. So there is something of this wisdom getting that is ours, and we have to do just that. We got to seek it. We got to treasure it. We got to position it. and make our hearts ready for it. And I think we do that. I think that's part of why we are here, this disciple thing we do. We stay in the Bible. We stay in prayer. We stay in confession. We give accountability partners to help us in our walk. And we come here each week because we have a fellow group of believers to help us do just that. That's our part. And we know our God is faithful and He will do His part and He will give that wisdom. I was reviewing several of our past messages that we've done here, and I kind of find I'm kind of demanding here sometimes. I went back and, you know, I seem to ask a lot of us, and I went back and some of the things from our past messages here, usually these fall out towards the end of the message, and I'm kind of pushy. You know, some of the things I said, you know, is God calling you to obedience? Is He asking you to get rid of some old junk and show fruit? That was one of the messages early on in July. And I said, read Scripture afresh. And when we reconsider what it means to be His people, I seem to be pushing that. We've got to be His people. Stay prepared for Him to work in you. Get out of your comfort zone. That one kind of made you guys do this a little bit. To see what He has in store. Pushing. Become better kingdom participants. Find a joy in what it means to be His people. That kind of seems to be a theme I keep pushing. Connect with this big story that we have. Become more like those sheep. Hear His voice. Follow where He leads. Work out this salvation that's been worked in you. Rally for this ministry of reconciliation. I'm pushy. I keep telling you to do stuff. Us. Telling us to. I'm included. And so this pursuit of wisdom, I'm going to do the same. Push you. It's what I do. But it is for us. I think this pursuit of wisdom is for us. And I want to start broad. And then I want to work it back just a little more personal. Because I think it's something that we need. We need true wisdom. You know, in a couple days we get to vote. And we're gonna do that right now here. We're gonna poll you, okay? We're gonna find out something. Who here, show of hands, is just really impressed with the candidates that we have, that they're so grateful for these leaders that are full of wisdom. And I look forward to making this choice because these people that we have to choose from, anyone? Yeah, that was my vote. You thought I was going somewhere else. No, I'm not going to do that. But you know, And I don't want to make too light of that because it's serious. I believe it's a serious problem. That's why I want to include it here. I think it's to me there's, and not all of it. Not there's we have wonderful God loving people that are in office. We're glad that they are there. But this year it seems to be who's in the highlight. There is this. It's a mockery a little bit. You know, there's it's just. I almost want to say it's kind of embarrassing. I'm getting some nods, so if I had a show of hands there, I think he would agree. My next question, though, is whose fault is that? Whose responsibility is it to develop leaders with this real wisdom that we talk about? Not wisdom from the world, not earthly wisdom, but the real wisdom from God. Whose responsibility is that? Earthly wisdom, wisdom from below, is foolishness, as we talk. Paul says in Colossians, I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if worldly wisdom is really foolish and true wisdom comes from this mystery of that which is hidden in Christ, where are our leaders to get that? I think it's from me. And I think it's from you. And I think it's from the church. We followers of Christ, that's part of our commission, part of this ministry of taking this message out to develop leaders that have these skills. Their wisdom is the wisdom that started first from fear of the Lord. But you know, it's just not politics. That's easy to talk about because we all get it when we flip on CNN or whatever. You know, we get to see all that all of the time. Wednesday, I can't wait because we won't have all that stuff. But this is for leaders in general. You know, I see this tremendous need today for great leaders of honest, real wisdom that comes from above in local and state governments as well. Schools, our teachers, our administrators, our parents, people at the workplace, our business leaders, whoever, all of that, that's where wisdom needs to happen, in our homes. Are we? How is it that we should raise our children? With worldly wisdom or wisdom that comes from above? How is it? What kind of wisdom should I have in me that helps me be the best husband I can for Carla, the best father for my kids, the best worker, the best boss, the best whatever? Who's this for? Where do we get it? Wisdom is the sweet deceit by which we should excel. And because this wisdom comes from God, these relationships that we have, they should be the best. They should be most true. We should be developing the best leaders. We should be developing a constituent of voters that demand it. You know, I think who we see there, unfortunately, is kind of a reflection of our communities. Again, I'm going to put that back on us. Because if we, the church, are doing this to develop people who are founded in Christ, you know who they're going to vote for. It's going to change. That whole picture is going to change. We need those kind of leaders everywhere. This is one of our challenges, is being commissioned to spread the word, to take this good news to all people, to be this minister of reconciliation we've been talking about. Because when we do that, I think what our job is, it's easy. Because all our job is to make this connection of people to their God. We're not pushing wisdom on them. We're not pushing teaching on them. Our job is to get them connected, because it's God is the one that gives the mercy. Our job is to make this connection so that these people can see His love, can see His mercy, and can grow in Him to make the next generation of the best athletes, the best coaches, the best musicians, the best parents, the best local government leaders, the best teachers, the best national leaders that we have. That's our role. That's another part of what this means to be these ministers of reconciliation, ministers of the gospel, this great commission that we've been given. That's our challenge that we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for You. We thank You for this root, the source of all wisdom. We're sorry that we have messed this up and just screwed it up at times because we think this is something we can do on our own, wisdom we can achieve that's human in origin and not from above. Forgive us where we've fallen there. So, Lord, let us be challenged. Let us be a people as we reflect on what's happening here in our local communities, in our families, in our national governments, in this world, and recognize this need, this urgency, that we need to be brought back and seek the wisdom that comes from You. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.